message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
Thanks again for being with us today, and we're certainly glad to have you with us for our Bible study together. We're going to look again today at are we following the right marching orders for today? Now, that's a good question. And that might seem a little odd to you to start with, but if you'll stay tuned, you'll see what we mean. Because there's a great deal of confusion about just what we ought to be doing today as believers. Now, I understand that there are people that watch this program, even maybe on a regular basis, who are not necessarily believers. That is, you don't know for sure that your sins are forgiven. You don't know for sure that you possess everlasting life as a present possession, that you have a home in heaven, that if you were to die today, you're just as sure as heaven as if you were already there with the door shut. You don't have that confidence. Well, you can have it. And I want you to understand that you can have it from God's Word. And I want you to listen. I'm not interested in you turning off. No, no. I'm going to be talking to believers, and I'm going to be talking to Christian people about what Christians ought to be doing. But if you're not a Christian today, or you don't know for sure that you are, there's something here for you. You watch and you see what God's Word says. Because you can tell right away the difference between salvation, life in Christ Jesus. See, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's what people are looking for. People are looking for life, not religious rituals, not dead orthodoxy, but life, real life. That's how God's manifested today, is through His Word working through the members of the church, the body of Christ, to demonstrate His life. Paul said, for me to live Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ. That is, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You see, Christianity is life. It's not giving up this and giving up that and getting rid of this and don't do this and don't do that and don't wear your hair this way and don't wear makeup and don't wear them kind of clothes and don't wear that and don't go here and don't go there and all that stuff. All that stifles life, you know, and people say, well, I don't want that. Well, look, Christianity, being saved, the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. That's it. And he that hath not the Son of God has not life. Well, if you're not saved, you don't know what life's all about. But let me tell you something. You can know. Oh, it's so wonderful. God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You too can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And I want you to see the difference between what God's Word says and how God's Word cuts through religious confusion and sets up a clear beacon of what the truth is, and gives you an answer to all the religious confusion around you today. I want you to see that there's a difference, that there is life, there is some reality, there is some truth in God's Word. And it'll go right through religion. And I say it'll go right through religion because I want you to understand something. I lived my life for a long time as a religious person, dead in the sins and the uncircumcision of my... I just was lost. And yet I was religious. I was religious but lost for many years. And one day I came as a poor, helpless, bankrupt, unable to perform sinner. Didn't come with my religion trying to impress God. I came with my sin saying, oh God, if you can't help me, I perish because I can't help myself and nobody else can either. And I found that God had done the one thing that I needed, and that is He had already put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself at Calvary. That when Jesus Christ died, He died for me. He paid for everything that was wrong with me. He did it all. He did enough. God was completely satisfied with what He did, and I could be too. And that day, December 31st, 1962, I agreed with God. I said, Lord, You're right. I'm a sinner. You're right, I can't do it. I can't please you. I can't make it. I can't hold out. I can't let go. I can't argue around you. I just have to admit I've made a mess of things, and I thank you that you love me and have provided an answer. And I agreed with God that His Son's work, His death at Calvary for my sins, His burial, His resurrection for my justification was what I needed. And I agreed with God, and I believe what God believes today. I believe His Son, Jesus Christ, paid for all my sin, and that if He didn't do it, it won't ever get done. That's a wonderful thing. You know when I did that? When you trust Christ like that, you know what God does? He saves you. He justifies you. And He imparts His life. And then that book, Jesus says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They come alive. And God has put profit in this book for us that are saved. And that profit is to be gained out of the Word of God as we rightly divide the Word of truth. That is, as we approach the Word of God the way God would have us approach it. Now, we've been studying about that. And we've seen that in time past, God made a distinction between two groups. He made a distinction between the circumcision on the one hand and the uncircumcision on the other hand. That is, the nation Israel was God's chosen people, and the Gentiles, that's all the other nations of the earth, were set aside. The Gentiles didn't like to retain God in their knowledge, so God gave them up, and He called out one man by the name of Abraham, and He made Abraham a promise. See, when the Gentiles gave up God, God gave them up, but God didn't quit loving them. God didn't quit having a purpose and a plan and a means of redeeming them. What He did is He called out one man by the name of Abraham, and to Abraham He made a promise. He said that I'll bless thee and make thee a blessing, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And God began to funnel and to focus His program and purposes through the nation Israel. When the Lord Jesus Christ came in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in His earthly ministry, Jesus Christ came and He was a minister to the nation Israel. Romans chapter 15 says that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. And in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you find the ministry of Jesus Christ is limited exclusively to the nation Israel, because they are God's chosen people. They are the vehicle through whom God's blessings were to go to the nations. But Israel was also a sinner. Israel were also needed a redeemer. And so Jesus Christ came to redeem Israel so that through them He could send His salvation out to the nations of the earth. The nation Israel rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified Him at Calvary's cross. God raised Him from the dead. He spent 40 days with His apostles, and then He ascended into heaven. 10 days after that, the Holy Spirit came on the apostles, on the believing remnant in Israel, and they went out and began to preach the message. The Lord Jesus Christ had trained these men over here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John for a ministry that they were to carry out over there. In the books of Matthew, chapter 28, in Mark, chapter 16, in Luke, chapter 24, in John, chapter 20, and in Acts, chapter 1, the Lord Jesus Christ gave to these people whom He had trained a commission. He gave them some marching orders and told them what He wanted them to do over here. And what He did is He took this program back here and He said, all right, get out there and preach that thing, and here's how to go about doing it. Now, folks, there's a great deal of interest in these commissions, and I'm interested in them. And when you come to trying to understand the Word of God, and especially the issue of rightly dividing the Word of God, Jesus Christ is a central personality. He's a central person. He's my Savior. He's the central person of our faith. And we're naturally interested in what He's doing. But if you're not careful, when you come to the Word of God, you're going to think that what He's talking about in these commissions here is what He's doing today. And that's not true. The nation Israel rebelled against the Lord Jesus Christ back here. They crucified Him. Over here, they blasphemed against the Holy Spirit. He said, if you blaspheme against the Son of Man, it'll be forgiven you. But if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, it won't be forgiven you in this world or in the world to come. The world to come is a reference to the kingdom that Jesus Christ is going to come back over here and establish with the nation Israel. He said, when you pray, pray our Father which art in heaven, thy hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Talking about that world to come right over there. Hebrews chapter 2, he talks about under the angels, hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. He says that these people here were particular, they tasted of the powers of the world to come. He's talking about the kingdom over here that Jesus Christ is going to come back and set up a new world order. Now, you hear a lot about that today. You know, you hear a lot of talk about the one world government and the new world order. Well, there isn't going to be a new world order on this planet that's going to work till Jesus Christ comes back and he'll set up a new world order. So it's called the world to come, a whole new order of things, a whole new cosmos. Now, this program back here looks forward to that thing over there. But when Israel blasphemed against the Holy Spirit, God Almighty set the nation Israel aside. And this purpose that God had to send salvation to the nations over here through the instrumentality, redeem Israel and then through Israel send salvation to the nations, that purpose was set aside temporarily. I mean, one day God's going to fulfill His word. He is not going to do what He said He's going to do. But He took Israel's rebellion as an opportunity to introduce a new program. Jesus Christ from heaven's glory. Remember, He's ascended up there. He reached down to save Paul, made him save Saul of Tarsus, made him Paul the apostle, and sent him out with the gospel of the grace of God with a new program that's called the mystery. That is, that word mystery means a secret. It doesn't mean something spooky, hokey, or unexplicable. It means a secret. The information that he gave Paul here was not made known back here to these people. He said, by revelation made known unto me the mystery, which in other ages back here was not made known unto the sons of men. He says that it was kept secret since the world began. This stuff back here is preached and talked about and prophesied about, and everybody knew about it. They knew about His crucifixion, about His burial, about His resurrection, about His ascension, about the Holy Spirit coming, about Him going away to receive the kingdom, about Him coming back and saving Israel from the time of Jacob's trouble, about binding Satan in the bottomless pit, about setting up His kingdom. They knew all about that. They didn't know about this purpose in here. And so the Lord Jesus Christ reveals this secret purpose through the Apostle Paul about how that in this dispensation of grace, in this interruption of the prophetic program, He's forming a new agency. God today is not establishing a kingdom. When you hear people say, well, we want to take this offering for the ongoing of thy kingdom, well, just yawn real big and wait a minute. Because that isn't what God didn't form. He isn't trying to reclaim real estate today. He doesn't have the keys to the government and the keys to the heaven all, and you know, one in one hand, one in the other today. The body of Christ is a spiritual body of people, of sinners, Jew and Gentile, bond and free, no matter who you are, no matter what your race, no matter what your religion, no matter what your social standing, no matter what any of those things, just sinners placed into one spiritual unit called the church, the body of Christ, simply by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. Now that's what God's doing today. But that isn't what He was doing back here. We studied last time Matthew 28. That commission, when you read that commission, it fits the kingdom. I want you to see that every one of these commissions going down through here, they fit what they say fits the kingdom program. It doesn't fit this program. Now, if you want to beat your head against a brick and say, well, maybe they don't fit, but I'll just make them fit. Well, then you go ahead. That's okay. But there's some of us don't want to do that. There's some of us who want to let the Bible speak and let the Bible be the authority and do what the Bible says to do. And I'm not trying to be smart aleck with you or tell you I know things that you don't know or I'm right and you're wrong. I believe that book's right. People ask me all the time in meetings. They say, Brother Rick, what do you think about so-and-so? I say, well, I don't think much about it. And I don't. Well, what do you think about so? I think the Bible's right. Now, you want to talk about what the Bible says? Let's dig in the book and find out what the Bible says, and that's the key. And my friend, when I read that Bible, I mean, look, sixth grade English out of a King James Bible. Simple words anybody can understand. I can read these passages over here, and I can read the passages over there in Paul's epistles, and I know something. The Apostle Paul wasn't following that commission, and neither am I. These commissions back here, and I know that certain sections of Christendom consider these post-resurrection commissions to be sacrosanct. But listen, what do you want? You want the traditions of men, or you want the truth of God? I'm a fundamental Bible-believing Christian. I believe salvation is by grace through faith plus nothing. Faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ and that alone. I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God for English-speaking people. I'm as fundamental, I'm as Bible-believing as anybody you ever met. I preach the gospel as clear. I defend the clarity of the gospel of grace as consistently as anybody that you know. Don't give me this business about, well, you're not this, you're not that. Listen, I know right where I'm at. And I know something, folks, out of a King James Bible, you can't take those commissions and say they're what's going on over there. And you can't take what's going on over here and say it's that unless you're willing to twist. Rest the Word of God to your own destruction. And listen, I'm just hoping there's somebody listening right now that's been confused by some of these things and you're willing to see some light. And if you are, hey, God's Word's got an answer for you. Now you look at Mark chapter 16 today. Now we already looked at Matthew 28 and saw how it fits. By the way, if you need some help on that, we'll be glad to send you a tape of last week's broadcast. Free. Send it to you by return mail. You just write me. The address will be on the screen at the end of the program. You write and we'll send it to you. You tell me what you want. Tell me you want the study on the Matthew 28 commission, and I'll see you get it. Send the letter to me. Address it. Attention, Brother Rick. And I'll see to it personally that you get it. We want you to have this information. And if you'll write and ask for it, we'll be sure that you get it. The address will be on the screen, plain letters, in just a few minutes. And I want you to get it. Get a pencil now to write it down. Mark 16, verse 15. Christ talking to his disciples. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now that commission is pretty clear. There isn't any reason anybody, I mean a six-year-old kid just learning to read, can read that and understand what it says. It's that clear. Now you understand, folks, I know that when somebody starts teaching the Bible and talks plain like that to you, people go, you know, all that kind of stuff. But just hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. Let it jar you if it has to. But you go get your Bible and look at it. Let the words on the page be something that make a difference to you today. And it will. It'll change your Christian life. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, everybody likes that. The problem is nobody wants to identify what the gospel that they're preaching is. You know what gospel these people back here were preaching? They were preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom. Go with me to Matthew chapter number 24. Now think a minute. Think. That seem foreign to you? To think when it comes to studying the Bible? The average church you go into, and folks, I speak reverently when I say it. I speak sadly when I say it. The average church you go into, you can just unscrew your head and leave it on the front seat of the car when you go into church in the morning, because all you're going to do is just a bunch of mindless repetition of things you've done over and over and over, and I know because I've been there. I was raised in that kind of religion, where we just bowed our heads and lifted our hearts and did the same things over and over and over and over again, and you can do it by rote. Well, God Almighty doesn't want mindless worship. So think for a minute. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall come the end come. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all nations for a witness. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel that they were preaching was the gospel of the kingdom. Now come down through Matthew 24 and let your eye run down through Matthew 25, and you'll see that Matthew 24 and Matthew 25 are all one long discourse given by the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Olives. It's called the Olivet Discourse. He concludes that sermon in Matthew 25, verse 46. And chapter 26, verse 1 says, and it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings unto his disciples, he said unto his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Now notice what's going on here. Jesus Christ Now think a minute. Jesus Christ, 2 days. 1 day, 2 days. 1 day, 2 days. Before he dies, goes out on the Mount of Olives and says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all nations for witness, and then shall come the end. 2 days before he died, what gospel did he tell them was going to be preached? They were preaching, and what gospel was going to be preached unto all nations? The gospel of the kingdom. 2 days before he died. Come with me to Mark chapter 16, verse number 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, that had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And you go down through the passage and you find the resurrection. Verse 12, after that he appeared in another form unto the two of them, that's the guys on the road to Emmaus. Verse 13, they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterwards he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and he says, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Look at here. 2 days before he dies, he says they're going to go preach the gospel of the kingdom. He goes and dies. Third day he rises again, and on that first day of the week, that Sunday, he's sitting there telling these guys, that's 3 days, 2 days, 5 days in there. 2 days before he dies, he's dead 3 days, comes up the third day, and he tells them, you're going to go out and preach the gospel. Can you find anywhere in that record, anywhere where he changed the gospel they were supposed to preach? I mean, 2 days before he died, he said, you're going to go into all the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom. The day of his resurrection, he says, go ye therefore go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. I'm going to tell you something, folks. The gospel they're going to go preach is the gospel of the kingdom. And the gospel of the kingdom is not the same as the gospel of the grace of God. I'll prove it to you. Hold on to Mark 16. Come to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Now, folks, the plowing's fixing to get wet here. And you're going to have to hold on. But you let God's word do its work in your heart right now. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel of the kingdom to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. When they went and preached that gospel, they were to preach, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. It wouldn't do anybody any good to have any kind of religious works if they don't believe. If the works were not the outward expression of an inward faith, the work didn't do any good. But folks, under that message, faith was expressed by the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And the verse says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. When they preached the gospel of the kingdom, he that believed and was baptized was saved. I want to tell you something. Water baptism is part of what they preached. But look at here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 14. Paul said, I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name, and I baptized also the house of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any. Now, you know, if Paul was following that commission in Matthew 28 and Mark 16, he sure is a nut. He says, I thank God I didn't do what Christ said for these people to do back here. Paul said, I thank God I didn't do that stuff back there. Somebody says, well, but he was a traveling evangelist. Boy, where'd you get that from? What denominational handbook you been reading? That Bible says he's an apostle, brother. Verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 1, Paul called to be an apostle. He no traveling evangelist. He's an apostle. These apostles were sent to baptize. Paul says in verse 17, Christ sent me not to baptize. Now, you want to read that again? He says, 1 Corinthians 1, 17, Christ sent me not to baptize. He flat sent these people to baptize. They're in any way under God's heaven, people. If the words on the page in a Bible mean what they say, that the Apostle Paul over here is following any of these commissions back over here, because he said Christ didn't send him to do what these commissions send these people to do. Now, I know what people say. They say, well, Paul said he didn't baptize so nobody would get mad because he did it in his own name. Well, for goodness sakes. I mean, folks, You know what that is? That's just somebody filling up the room with smoke that doesn't have anything to do with anything. He said, Christ didn't send me to do it. So I didn't do it, so you wouldn't say I did it on my own. But Christ flat sent those people to do it. Now there isn't any way. And he said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Well, if Paul was not sent to baptize, but he was sent to preach the gospel, then water baptism was not a part of the gospel that he preached. Else he couldn't have been sent not to do it. It is a part of the message back here. It isn't a part of the message over there. That isn't all. These signs shall follow them that believe. You know what Paul says over here? He says, we don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. We're not looking at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. The miraculous demonstrations are gone. He says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering. You'll find over here in Paul's epistles, he never says the fruit of the Spirit today is deliverance. He never says the fruit of the Spirit today is God delivering you from sickness and trial and danger and difficulty. He says the fruit of the Spirit is long suffering with patience and joyfulness, being able to endure through the thing, not have it miraculously delivered off of you. Look at here, folks. God's doing something different in here. You know what he's doing? Paul says that his intent is to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Now then, we're ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us to be reconciled to God. He's committed to us the word of reconciliation. God has sent us out with a commission of grace, a message of grace and peace to a lost and dying world, not trying to restore a kingdom, not set up a legalistic system of haves and have-nots, but a message of grace and peace through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Our commission is found and our marching orders are found in Romans through Philemon in your Bible. Search and see. Don't take it from me. Until next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, Where the Commissions Fit. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy, along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 161. That's tape offer number 161. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us today. If our study together has been a help to you, we'll be happy to put you in touch with the Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know, and we'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.